But first, meet one of the guys who changed the way we read, Jason Murkowski. He helped develop Amazon's Kindle e-reader. He's also the author of Burning the Page, The E-Book Revolution, and The Future of Reading. Jason, near the beginning of your book, you write that you think we've made a pact with the devil in digitizing our words. What do you mean by that?
That's a great question, Jim. When you look at what we're doing with digital content now, whether it's e-books or videos, music, there is a sense that books are not these austere objects that go on mahogany bookshelves with gilt and leather embossed bindings anymore. And in a way, by digitizing our content and making it available on devices like the Kindle and other e-readers, we've done a great service by making content available and hopefully increasing readership. I'd like to think there's a minor renaissance going on now in reading because content's available now and perhaps more cheaply than it ever was, with that much more ease than ever before. At the same time, though, I feel this easy accessibility to content might be perceived as a way of cheapening the content, and having books on the pedestal that they once were may not fly anymore, given that they're being treated in some ways as just media, like videos and music and every other kind of digital content.
You sound like a man who loves having a physical book in your hand.
I do. I was one of the early adopters of Kindle, of course, having a Kindle before anyone did. And I felt like, wow, I'm using an iPod years before anyone has an iPod. And I got to feel like an early innovator with my first Kindle out in the streets. But these days, I find myself more often, paradoxically, just with a good old-fashioned book. I like the heft of a book. I like sometimes even the smell of a book. You know, there are subtle variations. I tend not to like the ones that smell like fish. The ink sometimes is just is very reminiscent of just the primality of the book. But ultimately, I think anything is good, whether it's print or digital. I don't think there's any barrier to reading as long as a book immerses you inside its subject.
What was it like to work with Bezos? There's a former Amazon engineer who said that he's such a control freak, he makes ordinary control freaks look like stoned hippies. What do you think of that?
I think it's probably the best thing that ever happened to product development, that there are people like Steve Jobs and Jeff who really care about product development and are such control freaks that we now have great devices like iPhones and Mac computers and Amazon instant ordering and Prime subscriptions. Yes, there's a relentless dedication to doing things right, but what I admire most about Jeff is it's done from a perspective of data, and Amazon has what I would call maybe an IQocracy. There's no such word, but everyone was sort of on equal footing in a meeting with Jeff. As long as you had the right data and could back up your assertions with facts, and you weren't just sort of blue-skying it and pontificating, there was no real appreciation of just opinions at Amazon. Everything had to be backed up by fact and ideally customer complaints or feedback from customers. And I think that's the right way to run a company when it comes to creating product.
What was the most challenging part, do you think, of those days, in the early days of the Kindle, getting it up and making it work and putting it out in front of the public?
I guess we were all worried whether it would work. A number of people, organizations had tried to do e-reading. Microsoft tried in 2001. And there were some wonderful, hefty, brick-like devices like the Rocket Reader, which some of your listeners may have once used, that were popular back in 2000. For whatever reason, none of these devices ever took off, and the e-book ecosystem faltered every time one of these organizations would try releasing a product. And so our biggest worry would be, would we sell e-books? Would we sell Kindles? When we finally launched, we were really pleased to sell out within a couple hours. We were all in a big launch room cheering down as the countdown of inventory dwindled down to zero, and we let off a wonderful hurrah because market pressures showed that, you know, we didn't even have enough to meet demand based on our most optimistic expectations. So it turns out that fear was unnecessary, but there was a lot of fear about, you know, we're spending years of our lives, millions upon millions of dollars, creating this new e-reading system. Will people like to read digitally?
Yeah. You say in this new book, Burning the Page, that you think we're on the threshold of reading 2.0. What do you mean by reading 2.0?
Right. Great question, Jim. So in Silicon Valley, we have this sense of giving version numbers to products. So version 1 of a product might be version 1.0, and version 2 we'd call version 2.0. And usually between version 1 and 2, there's a major seismic shift in the experience of the product. For the last couple hundred years, reading as we know it has been a very linear form, where you read from front to back, or in certain languages, back to front. But it's linear, right? You don't really skip around, and you don't really interact with a book. It's a learning process, which is self-paced. But what I've seen with the way that publishers have changed around ebooks is it's all up for grabs now, and we're seeing features like non-linearity. So, for example, it becomes a lot easier to search inside an ebook for the content you want. You don't just go to an index at the back of the book, find the first time some topic is mentioned, and flip to it. You just search right there in the book, and it takes you to the page that might be of interest to you. We're seeing analytics right inside books. And look, with a print book, a publisher typically has no idea who buys the book, let alone how far through the book they get or what their experience is or whether they recommend the book to friends. But with digital books now, we're able to track this data and see that my mom got this book and recommended it to my aunt, who in turn read five chapters through and blah, 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 blah. So the way we read is no longer solitary and linear. Everything has changed. It's nonlinear, it's shared, it's social. And so smarter publishers are coming up with new features based on these Reading 2.0 enhancements to really engage people in a new way.
I was thinking about the act of reading. It has been a solitary pleasure for many people for many years. At the same time, it's also a very social activity because one of the pleasures of reading is sharing a discussion, a conversation about the content of the book with others. In some ways, the ebook enhances that. And if I understand your notion of what reading is going to become, Reading 2 or 3 or 4.0, it will be even more that way. In fact, I'm curious about this thing you've kind of described as the Facebook for books.
Yeah, and to me, there's no reason why all of our books shouldn't be linked together. When you look at human culture, we have 35 million books in print, and that's a lot of books. And there are conversations that happen between books. It's not just in the bibliographies of a given reference work where it points to other books. Even within fiction books, there are sometimes subtle, sometimes explicit references to other books. And what I would really like to see is this concept of a Facebook for books. Imagine a buffet of content, all these books that you can just hop to, like you can from one Netflix film to another, where contextually within one book, you can link out to something that's very similar based on subject matter or other things the author has written about or things that other people themselves have commented on. There's a great conversation that happens on the web as we put our web pages up and Google indexes them and we can find content and we as readers can learn. But in a way, books are still locked off in this shadowy gray realm where they can't communicate with us in quite the same way. And they're treated as second-class citizens and can't inform each other the way that we would like, perhaps, to really find and ferret out the nuances in the details of a book. And so when I speak of Reading 2.0 and the Facebook for books, that's my vision for it.
Putting them all together so that you can find pieces of one. But at the same time, the downside might be that you start reading Moby Dick, and a lot of people have trouble reading Moby Dick, and they get a little interested in whaling, and they go off and find a book on whaling, and that takes them to a book on the life of sharks, and they go off and read that, and they never come back.
I think Herman Melville would approve. If you read Moby Dick, there are so many interstitial chapters which seem to go on for incredibly long tangents which have nothing to do with the plot. It's encyclopedic. And whether he's talking about cephalopods or whales and just going off on these elaborate catalogs of where they were once sighted, off of which oceans, and what you can do with a whale jaw, it has nothing to do with the plot of Captain Ahab. But yet we're sucked into it because we're learning and we like that encyclopedism. And so I think there's some works that that will be less appropriate for. But if the goal of reading is to grow and we're able to learn from content and having these books network together helps that, I'm all for it.
Jason Murkowski is the author of Burning the Page, The Ebook Revolution, and the Future of Reading.